Like I said, we're going to be in Revelation 9, but I thank the Lord. I do thank the Lord that I feel like the Lord has really helped me with where I'm at down at that shop. A lot of those truck drivers come in there, and y'all, we get talking Bible. And man, sometimes I'm like, look, are you going to pay me to work on your truck, or are we going to talk Bible? Because I would talk Bible with y'all today. And I tell them, look, you know, I'll stand here and talk to you, or do I need to start on your truck? Because y'all, there are people who have questions. And one thing I'm so grateful for, and so thankful, that the Bible is so much of a fun book as it is, but once you learn how to rightly divide the Word of God and about right division, it literally lets you look at the Bible in a completely different way, and it frees you from bondage. And I tell you, I'll tell people this, and I've got friends like my friend Brother Dennis. He'll tell you too. Look, I'm a Baptist preacher, but I take Bible doctrine over Baptist doctrine any day, and I don't care what anybody thinks about it.
That's right.
Why? Because the Baptists aren't right on everything.
That's right.
Just like the Methodists aren't, the Presbyterians aren't. And where they deviate from the Bible at, I've got to stand and account for God one of these days. And I've had a lot of, you know, well-meaning Baptists teach things, and when I check it with my Bible, it's not so. And I'm not going to stand up here knowing I'm going to be judged by God one of these days and say, well, the Baptist taught it, and the Lord's like, find that in the Bible then for me. And that's why when I study these things, the best thing to do is use the cross reference and let the Bible speak for itself on what it means and what it's saying. And that way I'm just supposed to teach you what the Bible says about the Bible. And not only that, but a lot of people say, well, I know it says this, but it really means. It says what it says in the context of who it's talking to. And once you get that, it makes it simple. When I read something, that's like over in Hebrews. There's a lot of stuff in Hebrews through Revelation that we can glean from. But I'm going to tell you something. After the rapture of the church, there's going to be doctrine that applies to those people that does not apply to you doctrinally. And so once you get to that and you realize this thing here, that's like in Revelation 2 and 3. I've had several guys ask me this, and we, four or five of us, were standing out there and I guess I'm going to have to get me a board like this down there at my shop. but Revelation 2 and 3, that's not to you doctrinally. Well, there's a place over there in Revelation, I think it's chapter 3, where it says you can be blotted out of the book. None of us have to worry about being blotted out of God's book. Why? I'm in the Lamb Himself. I'm part of His body, bone of His bone, flesh of His flesh. You're joined to Him. But after the rapture of the church, there are going to be churches, plural, that go through the great tribulation. And those churches, plural, they're not a church, like there was a church in the wilderness, Acts chapter 7 said. That don't mean it's the church which is the body of Christ. A church is a called out assembly. So there are going to be churches that go through that time that don't have the same things that apply to them that apply to you today. And once you get that, it shows you really what's going on. So what they do is they say, well, Revelation 2 and 3 has to do with church history. But really, you can't find a verse that teaches that. Ephesus, don't tell me this. These things, EPH, I'm just going to put Ephesus because of my... I try to keep good, fresh things up here, but they go out even if you don't use them. It may be. So Ephesus pictures Israel's espousals, and I'm going to put this on the board, and then you can go check it. Y'all, you can take a picture of it. These things are picturing things that Israel went through. Now, the reason why you need to know this is because we try to put ourselves in the place of something that God never placed us in. This is you can read the whole book of Exodus. I'll just write that down. Exodus, E-X-O-D-U-S. And then Jeremiah 2, verse 2. Now, why am I telling you this? Because as we read the book of Revelation, all that stuff in there, the whole book is a prophecy. It says in Revelation 1, verse 3, the prophecy of this book. John was carried forth into that time. He said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And that don't mean he was spiritual on Sunday. He was in the Spirit. The Lord carried, he left his body and carried him in the Spirit on the day of the Lord. That's called the Lord's day. All throughout the Bible, it's called the Lord's day. And it shows you God's wrath starting and God at the end, he's going to come back. The Lord Jesus Christ is God and he's going to come back. And he's going to put down all the kingdoms this world. And he's going to set up a kingdom, Daniel says, that'll never have an end. And these things are picturing, they're showing Israel things that happened in their history and warning them not to do the same thing. Smyrna. I'm just going to abbreviate here. But this has to do with Israel's testing. Now what's that? We can get spiritual application out of that. But the doctrine does not belong to us. So they were tried in the wilderness. Now, what do I do? When I read these things, when I'm reading Revelation, and I'm reading stuff in the Old Testament that don't apply to me doctrinally, like I can't go in a snowy pit on a cold day and whip a line. But spiritually speaking, I can take the application and say, I tell you what, I can gain victories over things I never thought I could gain victories over with the power of God working in and through me. I can get a message out of that. But the application that really happened, it really happened, that don't apply to me today. Why? God's not working in that way anymore. And once you start seeing those things in the Bible, it clears everything up. That's like you get a lot of these people are talking about dreams and visions today. You know, they had a dream, they had this vision, stuff like that. God don't work like that. You just ate too much pizza and drank too much Sprite before you went to bed. And what they're doing is they're trying to base their life off things that the Bible does not have anything to do with. And what's happening is creating a world now to where we got a Bible, but they really don't go by the Bible. The revelation is completed. You've got everything you need in that Bible right there. And as long as you rightly divide it and don't apply things to you that don't need to be applied to you, you won't be confused. That's why Paul says, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now what's that? Truth has to be divided from truth. There are truths in the Old Testament that was true then that's not true today for me doctrinally. Just like all those regulations in their diet and things. That's true. But for today, those truths don't have to be applied to me. Why? The Bible says I can eat anything, he tells Timothy over there, is sanctified through the Word of God and prayer. As long as I ask God to bless it, I can eat it. So you got those delineations there. And if you don't make that, you get the Bible and I'm talking about and have a messed up life. So these things are here. And I can write them down or I can give y'all a copy of this. But I might just say it because it's going to take forever. Well, this is what I'm going to tell you this and I'll give y'all all copies of this. Pergamos is picturing Israel's failure. And that has to do with that story of Balaam and Balak. So if you'll match that, Pergamos, when you read about that church over there, Balaam and Balak, that whole story with Balaam being the prophet that should say something about the Lord and truly, but Balak pays him off. And he says, hey, I can't curse him, but I tell you what, I can tell you how God will curse him. Let them join in with the people they're not supposed to join into and mix in there, and God will do what you're wanting to do. Well, guess what's going to happen over there in the tribulation? They're going to be trying to mix in with the Antichrist and his system. And it's going to mess them up, the ones that do it. Now, how can I take that spiritually? I know I'm not supposed to be entangled. A good soldier don't entangle himself with the affairs of this world. But the effects that's going to happen to them because of their entangling is not going to be the same effects for me. I can ruin my testimony as a Christian, but I can't lose my salvation. Right. But that Bible says to those people that go over there, it don't matter who it is, if they take that mark of the beast, the Bible said they'll have torment. Well, I don't have to worry about that. Why? The mark of the beast don't have... I don't even worry about it. Now, people say, this is setting up for the mark, and this other thing is setting up for the mark. Okay, well, fine. I'm not going to take the mark. Why? I'm not going to be here when it's set up. So they can worry about it all they want to. I'm not going to worry about that. I've got plenty more things to worry about than that right there.
That's right, sir.
I'm worrying about what coffee I'm going to drink this afternoon before I worry about the mark of the beast. I'm not kidding you. Some people get their self worked up about stuff, y'all, and they're sitting there, what's going to happen to so-and-so? I'll tell you what's going to happen. This world's just going to get worse and worse. Deceivers are going to deceive and be deceived. Guess what my job is to do? Keep the joy of the Lord and do right until He comes to get me or I die. I mean, it's just that. It makes life so much more enjoyable when you see the simplicity of what He wants us to do. But I'm going to tell you something. If I lived in the time of Revelation, we're about to read it. We're about to read serious stuff that's really going to happen over Revelation 9. That stuff's really happening. It's not helicopters and it's not bombs going off and stuff like that. It's really things come up out of earth.
That's right.
Well, I can tell you something. I don't have to worry about that. Never. Why? Because I'm not going to be here. That's well, that gives me joy. I'll give you a few more. So you got the first three churches are picturing in the wilderness, and then you got the last four picturing in the land, Thyatira. That's picturing, that's the day of Israel's kings like Jezebel and all that stuff that's going. That's why whenever you read over there in Thyatira, it's talking about Jezebel and the spirit of Jezebel and all this stuff. You can search that out and then get a lot of light on it. Sardis, that's Israel's removal. That's why he says, "Thou art dead." So Israel gets removed. Then you get Philadelphia. You got the day of Judah's kings. That's why it says the key of David. So then you get the last one, Laodicea. That's Judah's removal. That's where he says, I'll spew thee out. Well, that runs you right back to the law in Leviticus 18:28. All that stuff has to do with Israel. I don't have to be worried about being spewed out. I've heard preachers get up there and say, God, I spew you out of it. Let me tell you something, man. If you're part of God's body, He can't spew you out of Him.
That's right.
Why? That's why that Bible teaches you eternal security. That's not a Baptist doctrine right there. Why? That is a Bible doctrine when you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. I've had people that don't believe in eternal security. And I say, okay, well, if you don't, well, you know, that's your prerogative. Explain to me Ephesians 1:13. They can't explain it. They'll take me back over there. I know I can get on a merry-go-round with them right off the bat. They'll go right over there to Saul. And with Saul, you know, Spirit. Well, I'm not Saul and I'm not in the Old Testament before the Spirit was given, John chapter 7 said.
That's right.
That don't have nothing to do with me. Well, you know, over in Revelation, I'm not going to be here. That don't have nothing to do with me. You see how people do? They try to mix it all together. You know what we're going to do? As we study the Bible, we're going to realize where we're at.
That's right.
In God's program.
That's right.
God has got a program. He is all through the Bible. You start over there, and when He calls out Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees, He starts a program. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Jews are people who are descendants from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the reason why you can't say Abraham is because Abraham had two seeds, Ishmael and Isaac. Ishmael is the bad seed. That's the whole Arab nation. I say Arab. I know that some people say Arab. But anyway, that whole nation, they came from Abraham too, and they try to trace their lineage there. But no, the real seed, the Bible says in Galatians chapter 4 and all through the Bible, is Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And God takes that nation and He sets that nation aside from all other nations and treats them differently. And if you want to come to God the right way, you have to become a Jew. That's what it says in the Bible. That's what they did in Esther. They became Jews. And you got to get underneath that system. When you know what happened? When the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross,
right,
He made a new way. And in early Acts, they had no idea about the change. That's why in early Acts, you're still having doctrine, still matching things that went on in the Gospels and in the Old Testament. But then the Apostle Paul gets saved over there. After the stoning of Stephen, they really rejected. They had already rejected the Father, and then they rejected the Son on the cross, and then they rejected the Holy Spirit. And the stoning of Stephen, God takes the Apostle Paul, and he sets Israel's program aside. He puts a pause on Daniel's 70th week. He says, pause. And he stops dealing with Israel like he did. And he said, I tell you what, I'm going to call out a bride, a Gentile bride to myself and join them to me. And when I get finished, when the fullness of the Gentiles come in, he said, I'm gonna finish out this body right here, and then I'm gonna go right back to dealing with Israel. And that's whenever you get that other male that comes in there. That's why when you start with Hebrews through Revelation, people get all mixed up. Why? When you start getting over there, he's getting back into another program. How do you know? I'm not a Hebrew. It starts off to the Hebrews. There's no distinctions in the body of Christ.
That's right.
So I can take things out of Hebrews through Revelation, Peter, all that stuff. A lot of blessings in there. But the whole time you're reading it, if you'll start noticing now, you'll start noticing in the last time and stuff, that mail is directed to people who are right there in the last time again. Why? Because in that time, The last time is right there. And that's mailed directly addressed to them. So anything that don't match Romans through Philemon, the Apostle Paul, the Apostle to the Gentiles, you'll know, okay, well, that's stuff I can get for spiritual application. But doctrinally, this particular verse doesn't apply to me. And y'all, it opens up your Bible to a place and man frees you at one. Because if not, you'll be like the rest of the world, y'all. And I'm going to tell you something. There are people in this world, they're good people. And you get to talking to them and you can tell they don't rightly divide the word of truth. And they take passages that don't apply to them and they try to put it on you and stuff like that. And that's like this whole deal that Paul talks about in Colossians.
Yes.
He said people talk about this touch not, taste not, handle not. Some people, all they talk about is what so-and-so's done, what they've touched. What they tasted was so-and-so, you know, he used to drink so-and-so, and then touch not, taste not, handle not. You got that whole thing of what people have done. And Paul said, you know what we're doing? We're moving forward.
That's right.
God is growing us. And I'm going to tell you something. There's things that I've touched, tasted, and handled 5 years ago, just as saved as I can be, that I wouldn't do today. And the only reason is I was just as saved then as I am now. But you know what? Hopefully I'm growing in grace, growing in Christ.
That's right, brother.
But you know what? You get over here in Revelation, and he says you can't eat things sacrificed to idols. Well, then you read Paul over there in Romans, he said, look, weaker people, the weaker brethren think that you can't eat things sacrificed to idols. So don't do it. Don't be a stumbling block. Well, there's no contradiction in the Bible. It's just that anything right now that we eat, we can ask God to bless it and eat it. But over there, you got a different deal. They're literally sacrificing the idols over there, and it's going to be to the Antichrist. Well, they're under a one-world program. Now, you can see this world going to a one-world government and all this type of stuff. Let me tell you this. You don't have to worry about it too much. It's not going to happen until God gives the okay on it.
That's right.
And it's only going to go so far while the church is here. Why, God is not willing that any should perish. God wants to see people get saved, and He is having great mercy. People can talk bad about God. I've had people run God down. Why would God do that? He is so merciful that even in the tribulation, He can lower the boom all at once. But you know what He does? Seals and the vials and the judgments, all these things. He stair steps it like that right there. Why? He's wanting people to get saved.
That's right.
He's still giving them time. And it's amazing. So you get over here in Revelation 9, we're getting to the fifth and sixth trumpets now. And you read this thing about these scorpions and this angel falling. I think we got down to verse number 3. And it says, and there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. And unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. Well, when you read Luke 10, 18 and 19, the Lord told His disciples, He said, I'll give you power to tread over those scorpions and stuff. Guess what He's going to do? He's going to have people go through that time that Mark 16 and stuff like that is going to have that doctrinal application where it says they'll take up serpents and they won't bite them and stuff like that. That was male addressed. The church age wasn't known about. Paul wasn't saved at that time. He was talking about people who were literally living through the time where the kingdom was at hand. And he said, hey, you trust me. And he said, you'll be able to drink deadly poison, won't hurt you and all that stuff. That's the things that's going on here. Those sealed people will be going throughout. And you know what? Those scorpions will be going about all over the earth and grab one person, another person, and leave them alone.
That's right.
That's amazing. I tell you something. All this scary movie stuff these people like and stuff like that today, and they watch all this stuff about these vampires. And all, let me tell you something. That stuff right there ain't nothing. You couldn't make nothing scarier than this right here.
That's exactly.
This is real. And that you, when you read this, it should give us a heart to want to see people get saved. But God's able to protect His people throughout all things. Verse 4 says, and it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. Now see, they got a seal of God in their foreheads. The Bible said we, in Ephesians 1:13, are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That's a different thing. So you've got a different program here. And so you see that instead of eating grass, these real locusts, they're going to eat men. Well, the Bible said all flesh is grass over in Isaiah. So they're going to have the flesh of men. It says, and to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man.
Right.
5 months. Five in the Bible is number for death. And I know some people, it does have some grace applications. But you go in there in Romans 5:5 and all that death in Romans 5:5, Acts 5:5, a man dies, Genesis 5, all that death mentioned, five, there's death with five, and it 5 months. You imagine that? Going around, man, I tell you something, it says, and in those days, verse 6, shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. Let me try this verse right here. I think it was Jeremiah 8. Let me try something right here. I want to read a verse to you. Men shall seek death. It says in Jeremiah 8:3, and death shall be chosen rather than life, by all the residue of them that remain of this evil family, which remain in all the places whither I have driven them, saith the Lord of hosts. You talking about something that happens historical and history repeating itself. You know the old saying, those that won't learn from history are doomed to repeat it?
Yeah.
You imagine people trying to die and they can't find it?
That's right.
Now see, this is where things are headed to. This is why it's so easy to get worked up and get mad about, you know, what's going on in the governmental realm, what's going on and all this stuff, and not step back and say, but you know what, if I don't keep my heart right and keep my heart soft, I'm going to wish death on those people if they don't get saved. And the rapture happens, they're going to go through that stuff.
That's right.
Let me tell you something, man, I don't want anybody to have to go through that. I'd rather people get saved and get their hearts right.
That's right.
And not have to go through these things. And see how easy it is for us to get cynical about stuff and get mad and wish evil on people. I don't wish that on anybody. I see people say, well, why? How come the rapture hadn't happened? How come God's waiting? Because He knows all this stuff is going to happen. He is trying to have mercy and give people time, and we're just rushing. I tell you something, God knows when it's time.
Yes, He does.
It says this, and the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle, and on their heads were as it were crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. Now, there's all kind of spiritual application there. But see, what's happening then is people are reaping what they've been sowing. Now, crowns, you know what a crown is? The Lord Jesus Christ is crowned with glory. Well, the person that's got a crown, you're supposed to obey Him, right? Well, they want to be kings unto themselves, and they don't want to do what God says. So things come up out of the earth with crowns on their head, and they have to do what they say. See, that's a scary thing about sowing and reaping, man. I mean, if they sow the wind, they're reaping the whirlwind. And another thing, too, you see how messed up they are? I'm going to tell you, and I don't want to run people down all this type of stuff, but Bible is Bible. It says faces like men, it's going to say they got hair like women. You got this whole movement nowadays. And some of this stuff is so embarrassing.
Yes.
When you got a grown man, is it just me or am I? He got lipstick on wearing a dress and they expect us to respect that? Y'all, that's a mental issue going on there. And people say, how wonderful. You got soldiers and stuff like that putting their life on the line and things like that. You don't hear people congratulating them. There's people out there still trying to have, you know, still trying to be a good husband, still trying to be a good wife and trying to go to work and do right. You don't hear nothing about that. But you got somebody and they'll come out as being crazy and everybody's like, wonder, man, that's just wonderful. Okay, well this right here is what's coming.
Gotcha.
That's what the world thinks. So what all is this going to lead to right here? It says, and they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. Okay, you got messed up. You'll get things messed up coming then. All right, and teeth as the teeth of lions. You say, why would they have teeth? Well, that's prophesied over in Joel and stuff like that. But you know what? Spiritually speaking, they're reaping what they're sowing. They're biting and devouring people to the place where I've got text over here. I'm going to go over it as we get later on in there because some of this stuff's so rough. You have to have a little humor in there to get away from the seriousness of it. But it says they're going to be eating flesh. Well, I've got a guy that sends me stuff, and I don't really look at a whole lot of things because I get angry, and I'm talking about anger today in this message, so I got to be real careful. But he sends me things, and you know what's coming? People are talking about eating flesh now. These diets where people are literally like when somebody dies and stuff like that, when I watched that video at first, I thought it was a joke, but they weren't joking. So you know what? Teeth aligned, okay? You're going to do things like that right there, you'll reap what you sow.
That's right. Yeah.
And y'all, I'll tell you something. That's why it's good to sow to the Spirit, and you will of the Spirit. Hey, y'all can come on in. We're about to close out. But we'll get more into it later on. I'm sorry I didn't get any further, but...